Welcome and Sunday afternoon. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. Oh my gosh, why is it still hot, Whitney?
I don't know. I'm dying.
Now, okay, so if you guys are regular listeners of the show, you might have realized that last week we had a rerun, and it was because one of our co-hosts went to Disney World. I'll let you guess who that was.
Gee, I wonder. Yes, it was me. I will confess. I went to Disney World. It's our annual trip with the family. Did Universal and Islands of Adventure. Did everything. Went to Galaxy's Edge. All the new stuff.
Yeah.
I'm still like recovering from it because I'm not as young as I used to be. So like all the overload of stimulus of like the good smells and the 3D and the rides and everything. I'm just kind of like trying to come down off of that high, which was a great high.
Sure.
But I'm trying to come down.
Now, was it as hot there as it is here?
Surprisingly, the first couple of days it felt great. It was kind of breezy. I didn't even sweat. But then like Wednesday hit and I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. It is too hot.
Are you one to track your steps? Because I feel like
I don't do numbers.
I know.
Don't look at numbers.
I guess every time I hear about like friends or family members that go to amusement parks or things like that, they're always like, oh my gosh, I got 10,000 steps before noon at Disney or
so,
whatever.
Well, my brother's friend had on his Apple Watch and I think he said, one day he walked like a ton of miles and we were like, really? That's how many we walked? And so I'm just thinking, I mean, at least I know I did a marathon. I mean, I know
yeah.
I did.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure I did. But yeah, I mean, it was great. It's one of my favorite places to go. I mean, just be taken away from reality and, you know, go to Star Wars and Animal Kingdom, and it's great.
Yeah, it's like no big deal, and just doing all the things.
Drink this really cool like frozen drink, which I never drink because I'm like a water person. But I was like, you know what? I'm splurging. I'm drinking that sugar drink, and I did, and I had two, and it was awesome. It had like these. It looked like tapioca pearls, you know, that like in the bubble teas.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they popped in your mouth. It was fluid filled.
Really?
Like some kind of orange juice? I don't know, but it was awesome.
Well, now I feel like I need to spend a few thousand dollars just to make a trip to Disney.
It's so worth it. It's so worth it.
But I'm glad that you had a good time.
I did. How was it here? I mean, was it?
It was hot.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what to do on my Sunday afternoon because I was like, well, dang. I was like, we're not doing the show.
I could have phoned in from a ride and been like, hey, I'm on Expedition Everest. What's up?
You probably should have. Well, now you have me itching to go. My husband's never been.
Have you been?
I have. We, a long time ago, you know, when people would sign up for the whole, like, timeshare situation, my family decided to get one based in Orlando instead of at the beach, and so we would go to Disney a lot when I was younger, and so, I don't know. I feel like I should take my husband. He's not into the magic. I'm hoping now that we have a kid that he can
There's other things there. Yeah. But, you know, I try to be really, like, conscious to, like, wash my hands because, you know, you're going on, like, rides and I was afraid I was going to get sick. But I actually didn't get sick, but you sound kind of sick.
I am. And that actually kind of works out really well because on our show today, we are going to be talking about things related to being responsible with your germs, you know, how to make sure that you are doing what you need to do to stay healthy on a campus where we have thousands of people, kind of like an amusement park.
Yeah, oh yeah. And I will say, I have to admit, I'm kind of a germaphobe. I don't know if anybody's ever seen Seinfeld and David Putty, who wears the germaphobe necklace. Like,
yes.
That's me. I'm constantly, like, if someone's sneezes, I like run in the other direction. So, I mean, it's funny that I would go to a theme park, but I just make sure I washed my hands, you know, occasionally and was mindful of that.
Yes. No, yeah. I feel like if anything else, our big takeaway from today's show at the end is going to be wash your hands.
Yeah.
I'm looking at our guests right now and some of them are nodding their heads like, yes, that is a very good piece of instruction. But I don't know. Today's going to be a good show.
It'll be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's hot. And so we're just happy to be inside in the radio station. But you guys, we're going to take our first break. And then when we get back, we have our two fabulous guests that we're going to introduce. But go grab yourself a drink.
A cold drink.
Yes, a very cold drink. Check on your pets outside.
Yes.
Your water, your plants. Do all the things that you need to do
while it's hot.
We'll be back. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. Well, Welcome back. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And today our theme is...
germs.
Yes. Exactly.
Hand sanitizer. I'm just kidding.
All the things. I mean, honestly, we have to be responsible with our germs, y'all. And for those of you who have been listening with us a while may remember that I had the pleasure of working as a dietitian at our student health center and pharmacy on campus. Today, Whitney and I are very lucky to have two fabulous guests who are my coworkers, Dr. Nikki Christensen, who is our medical director, and then David Brown, who is our nursing supervisor. So welcome, you guys.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Wonderful to be here.
Well, good deal. And David, you know, we've had you on the show before.
Yes.
So, yeah, so he's, I'll just say you're our radio pro. Absolutely.
I have that face for radio.
So, you know, we'll start with you, Dr. Christensen. Tell us a little bit about your current role at the Student Health Center. And before coming to the Health Center, you know, what's your professional background? Where'd you go to school? Just tell us all the things.
All the things.
Well, I took the long way around, but to cut it short, I did my undergrad at Samford University in Birmingham and worked in pharmacy actually for a couple of years before that, deciding to go back to medical school. Then I went to UAB for medical school, did my third and fourth years here at the Capstone, and then decided to do family medicine and decided to stay here and do residency. So I did that for 3 years in family medicine. Goodness. And then I went to the ER in Pickens County, if you're familiar with that, out in a rural area west of here. Did that for many, many years. And then life has brought me back this way to Tuscaloosa. And I started working here with you guys about a year ago and just took the medical director job this month.
Wow.
So didn't know that you were going to be forced to be on the radio.
Yeah, that was part of it. I did not sign up for this part. Sheena's so nice, I couldn't say no. I tried. She wouldn't let me.
Okay, so we know Dr. Christensen's been with us about a year now. Now, David, you've been with us a little bit longer than that.
Starting my 15th year here.
All right.
So before you were at UA, what did you do?
Well, I started out actually in the military, in the Army Reserves, as a combat medic.
Wow.
And then I was looking at the path for promotion. Because when you're a private, you want to be a sergeant. Mm-hmm. And they offered to send me to LPN school. And that would make me a sergeant. So I went to LPN school, and then I really fell in love with nursing. So I went back and I got my bachelor's degree in nursing from Mississippi University for Women in Columbus. Admitting men since 1992. But yeah, and that's what I did. Then I worked intensive care at Pickens County Medical Center. And then after my last deployment, I was out in Fort Bliss, Texas, where I ran a ward on the hospital there for a year. I came back and there was an opening with the Student Health Center, and I jumped on that because I grew up here on campus. My dad taught engineering.
Oh, cool.
I grew up playing in Hardaway Hall, and so kind of have a little close ties to this. Never dreamed I would be retiring, you know, working at the university as a career, especially as a nurse, so because there's so many few RN positions.
Right.
But I really enjoy working in college health.
Man, I didn't know that about your dad. That's so cool.
That is so cool. Well, and speaking of that, so what do you guys enjoy most about working exclusively with our college students and their healthcare?
Well, oddly enough, I have six children total. Now, I didn't birth six children, but I claim all six. And two of them are from my husband's first marriage, and they're older. They're the college-age children. They're 24 and 20. And so that is close to my heart as far as, you know, just being around guys that age, guys and girls that age. So I feel that maternal pull to want to help these students here, especially the ones that are brand new, the freshmen coming in, they're far from home. And I just feel called and led to be here. I love it. This past year has been really different than anything I've ever done before, but I feel like there's definitely a mission field here and work to be done. And for the most part, all the students are very appreciative for anything you do for them, help them, advice you give them, and I'm just pleased to be here.
Yeah. It's like you say, it is a special niche in our medical careers, working with this age group in the college. They're you know, they come off, you see them their freshman year, and they're stuttering, they're shy, mm-hmm. they're just, you know, and then 3 years later, you know, they're articulate and they're mm-hmm. poised, and you watch them grow up. And, a lot of parents, get to watch that. But, and they have special needs. And as mm-hmm. you know, we only treat students at the Student Health mm-hmm. Center. Mm-hmm. We don't have, we do have some older students, but it's not, you know, it's just for the students. So we're in tune to what's going on usually in the semester. They have big exams mm-hmm. or what. I like to say that as the weather gets better in the spring, we put away the Tamiflu and start getting out the crutches, But it's really, it's like you say, it's nice to help them navigate healthcare probably for the first time by themselves.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit more involved than just, here's your pills, mm-hmm. you go get well. I mean, mm-hmm. you've got to work with these students and make sure they understand and give them that confidence, too, that they're doing the right thing. And it's really, I like it. I really enjoy it a lot.
I was just thinking back to, like, when I was a student and I would get sick and I would go to the Student Health Center and I felt like I was taken care of because, you know, a lot of these students, you know, they go to the doctor with their parents because that – you're still young, you mm-hmm. know, and you just don't know the kind of questions to ask. And you have to kind of think about these things. And yeah, you can go into a doctor's office, but the good thing about you guys on campus is you really care. And you're going to guide them in the right way. And sometimes they may not know the right questions to ask. I think that's what's so great about mm-hmm. you guys is you right. care about the environment where they could go elsewhere. I can't name any names, but then go elsewhere and maybe not get the best, care.
Yeah, and it's funny because especially now that my nutrition office has moved right into our clinic area, because I've chuckled a couple of times where I'll see a student tell the nurse or the physician, like, here, my mom's on the phone. She'll tell you what's yeah. wrong with me. And, you know, at first I was like, oh, my goodness, that's so silly. But I have done that before. I did it in our Student Health Center, especially back when it was down in Russell Hall, because I was just so used to my parent being mm-hmm. the advocate for knowing my symptoms and articulating them correctly. So it was, I felt nervous the first time speaking on my behalf.
And knowing, being responsible for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you come to college, and we talk about all these things on our show about, like, learning financial security and learning to be physically active. Well, we always talk about the health side of it, but we don't talk about going to the doctor and, like, how that's going to look when your mom or dad's not there or exactly. grandparents aren't there.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's even more than just going in and talking to the doctor. There's prescriptions to be filled. There's insurance questions. There are referral questions.
Yep.
There are just things that you don't consider mm-hmm. until you're in that position. And then, you know, they're really appreciative, though, when we help them and try to guide them mm-hmm. to where they need to be. And we have great, our ancillary staff is great mm-hmm. with them and very helpful. So I think
we also have great
job.
Resources here on this campus that generally we're in tune to that. You mm-hmm. know, well, here, let me hook you up with these people over to this office mm-hmm. and maybe they can help you with that problem. Mm-hmm. That's just because it's more than just,
writing a prescription.
Right.
And I remember the whole idea of insurance. I didn't know how that worked.
Right. Uh-huh.
Like, I didn't know. I'm like, well, I have insurance. Why do I have to pay a copay if I have insurance?
What does this copay say?
Yeah, what is this? Yeah. So it's like, I remember thinking back, like, I didn't understand all of that. And, it's those things, making the appointment. Like you said, like, you have to fill prescriptions and, like, where to go. And y'all have the pharmacy there, which is super helpful. It's just, it's awesome.
I know. Yeah, it's super convenient, and obviously.
And you have credit.
Oh, that's
right. Anything not covered by insurance goes on your student account.
Oh.
The bill there. So you don't need credit cards or cash or
that's even better.
Anything. Mm-hmm. And our pharmacy, a lot of people don't realize, they do sell over-the-counter mm-hmm. medications mm-hmm. and hygiene products and things, and you can just charge it.
Hey, Mom and Dad, I'm taking care of myself. Check out my student bill.
They toilet paper.
I heard that was one of their biggest purchased items was toilet paper.
You do what you got to do. Well, we are going to take a quick break. On that note, we'll take a break. Grab something cool to drink, and we'll catch you on the other side. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. You're you're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about germs. That's and we're talking about how to be well. And our student health center guests are here. And it's been a great show so far. But Sheena, you had a funny story that you were going to tell us.
I did. I know. I think I mentioned during our break, you know, we were just kind of talking about just encounters with each other and everything else. And before Dr. Christensen joined our staff, I remember when I first started working out at this place in town, I started going to one of the early morning classes, and then this person beside me was like killing it on the treadmill and was like a beast on the rower. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then she was like super friendly with everyone. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, life goals. Like, she just seems really hardcore. And I would have never imagined that I would get to be your coworker a few
years
later.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
I think you're exaggerating a little bit.
I really am not. No, you were like very gregarious and like super friend. Like, so it seemed like you just had a lot of buddies in that class. And I probably was intimidated because that wasn't a normal class time I go to.
Early morning?
Yeah, it was early morning. And I was just, that's not normal. I'm usually an right after work kind of person.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she was like killing it. And she was like tall, and you know, I'm 5'1". Like, she just, like,
I know tall people, right? I'm always like, gosh, I wish I could just be taller. Yeah,
exactly. Ugh. So I felt like I just had to share.
Well,
that.
You're sweet to say that, but you have to remember. So I said, two don't live with us, so that means I have four children at home that I have to get ready for school. So that's
goodness.
Why I have to go this early morning.
That's an early day.
Yes, ma'am. Very.
Wow.
And I am not young, so we'll just leave it at that.
Well, you look good.
You look good, though. Yeah, you look good. Well, okay. I don't like shots. Let's just be frank about this for a second.
That's fair.
Tell me about this flu shot campaign, and let's just talk about it, because I am not the person that's going to run up and go get a shot. I'm being completely honest. This is not staged, people. I hate shots. But, like, tell us about it. I know I just need to listen and just, you know, buckle down and probably get a flu shot, right?
Well, first reason was each year thousands of people in the United States die from the flu.
Just take that in.
No.
Okay.
And the university several years ago came up with this idea of buying the serum and giving free flu shots to faculty, staff, and students. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to break down barriers. Mm-hmm. The first year, I think President Bonner wanted us to go to everybody's office and knock on the door and say, here, have a flu shot. I mean,
wow.
That's how making it easy as possible. You know, and jokingly, I like to tell parents at orientation, I go to usually most of the orientation session, I go, in this fall, your student will have at least four chances to say no thank you to a flu shot on campus, because then we start doing them. You know, we go to academic buildings, we go to several of the residence
halls.
Y'all
are everywhere.
Yeah, and we go to the quad. They're going to be on the quad next, and starting in October. Mm-hmm. They've got two or three scheduled there. And we did almost 10,000 last year. But back to your original question.
Yes.
The CDC says this is the very best thing you can do to prevent getting the flu.
Mm.
Now, you know, some people say, well, the flu shot makes me sick. Well, the flu shot can make you a mild flu-ish for 12, 24 hours, which usually to acetaminophens or some ibuprofen takes care of that, and a little sleep, and you're fine. You can't catch the flu from the flu shot.
Okay.
I like to say a lot of times you catch the flu because you were at the doctor's office with the sick people getting your flu shot, and the flu's out there at that time of year, usually when you get shot. And that's why it's probably better to go to one of these clinics and stay away from the sick people. And then, so, I mean, that's really it. The one that's out we're giving this year has protection for four strains of the flu, two A's and two B's.
Okay. Sounds good.
So that, you know, and they also research has also shown that if you get a flu shot and you still come down with the flu, you will not be as sick as you would if you had not taken the shot.
Mm-hmm.
How they measured that, I don't know, but who was the one that said, okay, I'm not going to take the shot?
Sure.
No, but anyway, but so that does help. Mm-hmm. So it helps that way. I mean, they have a group of scientists and doctors that get together every year, and they look at the strains of the flu that were floating around in the southern hemisphere during our summer, which is their winter, and their flu season, and they make an educated guess based on science on what strains to put in the flu shot. Now, there is a a flu shot with just three strains in it, we do the four because why not? Go with the most coverage.
Hey, I mean, roll tide.
Well, honestly, I like the idea. Like, you kind of had me sold when you said just you're not having to go get it where sick people are. Because that's my thing is, like, I'm not going anywhere where there's sick people. But if I can go to the quad where it's breezy and it's airy and if there's no germs, well, then, yeah, I would probably consider that.
And what is the, I guess, time for that quote-unquote immunity to build up, you know, because I don't know if somebody would think like, oh, I got the flu shot today, so tomorrow if I'm around someone with the flu, I'm completely immune. Is there a lag time?
It takes at least two weeks for the for the flu shot to start giving me effective, but it's not total immunity. Mm-hmm. So just because you've had the flu shot, you don't need to put yourself in jeopardy by hanging out with that flu person. Now, certainly we want to take care of our friends and family when they have the flu. I recommend any student can come by the Student Health Center, and we'll be happy to give them a handful of masks to wear. So you either put the mask on the sick person or the well people. Both people don't have to, just one or the other. And then that way, so if you are in that situation, of course, wash your hands, wash your hands. And then wash your hands, you know, and keep all your surfaces clean. But that's if you're around it, you know, because it's not armor, but it is armor to some extent.
David, at the beginning of the segment, you were talking about deaths related to the flu. Which populations are the most susceptible to being severely affected by the flu?
Well, you have the very young and the very old, the elderly. You also have those people that have respiratory asthma, COPD, smokers. I know, and I'm sure that spills over into the vaping.
That's good to mention.
That group, that population, people that burn the candle at both ends, which means most of our college population, because you have an active social life, an active scholastic life, which is like a very demanding job. So you're up all night either studying for your job or you're socializing. And so that, and then also our population is at risk for transmitting disease because they do like to get in close quarters and stuff. And, oh, here, take a sip of this.
Drives me absolutely nuts. I'm like, are you kidding? I saw some girls like sharing a, like their water bottle in class, and I went, what?
I could just see you like,
I literally have this moment
of
like,
sweat.
Why would you ever do that? I will buy you a water.
Oh my gosh. Are there other, you know, just while we're on this topic, any other myths related to the flu or flu shot that we can debunk in the last couple minutes of this segment?
Well, we talked about how it cannot give you the flu because it's a dead virus. You know, so you don't get sick. You know, it's just coincidence if you get sick that after you've had the flu shot. Really, that's the biggest one that we get across. I haven't really heard. One thing that is fact about it is that you were talking about who shouldn't and who should. The flu vaccine is grown in an egg culture. So anyone who is allergic to eggs, the CDC has relaxed that standard now to where we can give it to someone, say they just get a rash when they get around egg, raw or cooked. We can do that. We don't like to do those at our clinics because we do have to observe them for 30 minutes. So we do have a well waiting area in the Student Health Center. So we have a few students, they'll come up, get their flu shot and bring their books and they'll study for 30 minutes and then go, see you next year. And they take off. There is an egg-free vaccine out there. Usually some of your local drugstores stock it. But like I say, for the most part, you know, we look at that. But, you know, the main thing is people saying, oh, that, or my favorite one is I had a student say to me, I don't believe in flu shots. And I said, well, here, let me open the cooler and show them to you. They really exist.
They're really here. That's hilarious. So, I can see you doing that for a student. No, but I think, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I feel like there are always some very random reasons that someone decides to decline a flu shot. Not that necessarily that they're afraid of shots, but, you know, it might say like, oh, my family doesn't believe in them, like you said.
And then I've also heard, you know, I'm tougher than the flu. And I go, let's see how that works out for you. We'll see you at the Student Health Center.
Right, exactly. You know. But yeah, I feel like our campus is just this incubator of germs. So, but on that note, y'all go take a break. Wash your hands. Because we've got to take a break here. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. Welcome back. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And if you were just joining us, we were just talking about the flu and the flu shot and all of that awesomeness. And during the break, Dr. Christensen, I know you were just mentioning an old trick that a nurse had told you about it not hurting as much. Kind of re-describe that for us.
Well, last year, myself and my four children, I keep mentioning those just to get some sympathy from you guys, but we were lined up at the office to get the shot, and she just told us to cough, you know, that she would count to three and cough, and then she would inject at the time of the cough, and we literally did not feel the stick at all. So
I'm gonna try it. Yeah. I'm gonna do it.
Well, relaxing your arm helps.
Right.
Don't tense up.
Yeah.
The more you tense up, you know, if you relax, it'll be less sore. And you know, and like I say, there's nothing no harm in taking a couple of acetaminophen when you get your flu shot.
And for those of us that don't know what acetaminophen is on the radio,
brand name is Tylenol.
There you go.
Or ibuprofen.
Yeah.
Are they giving flu shots also at the Work Life and Wellness Expo, the Employee Health Fair? Do you know if they're doing that at the Coliseum?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So yeah. So you guys, if that's coming up this Wednesday,
And then you mentioned the emotion on the quad, and you can go to this great website. It's www.cchs.ua/flu shot.
Okay.
Or go to ua.edu and in the search bar type in flu shot and that website will come up.
And that
lists all the clinics, what time they are, where they're at.
Okay. And we got to emphasize the word free.
Free.
Oh, yes, free. And this is not free because you have insurance. A lot of retail places advertise free flu shots, but then you get there and they go, oh, we don't take your insurance. It'll cost you $25. Right.
Sound effects.
You know, yeah. And a lot of people don't realize the more, you know, and I'm not saying don't go to the doctor when you're sick because of this, but the more things that are charged to your insurance, the next year your insurance premium will go up.
Wow, that's good.
So by the university doing this, this keeps all these flu shots off of our insurance, which that helps too.
Yeah.
But mainly it's about making sure people get a flu shot, whether they got insurance or not, as long as they're student, faculty, staff. Now, students can always come to the Student Health Center to get a free flu shot. We try to get them in and out quickly and keep them away from the sick
people. Do you see a lot of students getting flu shots?
Yes.
That's good.
We've given out. In the clinics I've done on campus and at the health center, we're probably up to 1,000, 1,500. And that's not just all of the clinics, because I just go to the residence halls.
Okay.
And so, and then faculty staff can go to the faculty staff clinic. Mm. It's also open for faculty staff, faculties, your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And your children.
Mm.
So, like Dr. Christian, you could take those four kids to the faculty staff clinic, because we don't do children at our on-campus clinics, and they can get a free flu shot. Now, elderly people, which I don't know how many listeners we have that are elderly, there is a high-dose version of the flu vaccine, which is recommended for them. And once again, for faculty staff, or if there's an elderly student, they can get that. We can get that next door.
Oh, that's good to know.
At the faculty staff clinic.
Which departments have all been involved with this flu campaign? Because I know you mentioned CCHS, obviously,
right.
The student
the College of Community Health Science is in charge of it. The finance department of the university is what pays for it.
Sure.
We also have the nursing school. Mm-hmm. The nursing students help with this greatly. And if anybody's a little leery about a nursing student, trust me, they are experienced. They've been trained in this, and they do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so the, and it's great because a lot of friends in there. your friends come get their shots.
Sure. And we get to watch that. Isn't that funny to be like, hey, give me my shot?
Yeah, no.
It's like, let me do yours.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I've actually had students I've offered, no, I got to wait until Thursday because I got a friend in nursing school and he's going to give it to me.
They're supporting their friends. I like that.
So we got school nursing, then we have a student health center, and then the university medical center. Student health center, we mainly, like say, sponsor the ones in the residence halls and the student health fair. Mm-hmm. And then University Medical Center does the ones, all the others.
Sure. Okay. So speaking of students, because hopefully there's some students listening to our show, what kinds of basic first aid, I just totally segued, but I'm sorry. You zone out and you think about something and you want to So like, what kind of basic first aid items do you recommend students have?
Well, most students are going to get some type of respiratory illness, cold, mm-hmm. hopefully not the flu, but something while they're here on campus. Because again, I always give the example of it's like new babies in daycare. They come to this place all over the country, different germs, different, you know, immune systems. And so the minimum basics I would provide for my student would be obviously first aid type things, you know, Band-Aids, peroxide, mm-hmm. Antibiotic ointment, mm-hmm. Then, you know, pain type relievers like your acetaminophen, your ibuprofen, mm-hmm. or naproxen. You need a thermometer, which, by the way, if you don't have one, you can come by the Student Health Center. We have some freebies to give out.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, shout out. you know, it's helpful if you know that you have seasonal or environmental allergies, go ahead and pack some of that allergy medicine like loratadine or fexofenadine or cetirizine. Those are the three most common, you know, over-the-counter. Mm-hmm. A nasal spray, like a steroid type nasal spray. If you use it at home, then go ahead and bring it here because you're probably going to need it here at some point. And if not, then great, you know, but at least you have it.
And you can always go by the pharmacy and talk to the pharmacist about what they recommend. Mm-hmm. Tell them what your symptoms, what you get, and they'll be happy to.
If you're prone to injuries like my son's, you might want to pack a little ACE wrap here or there, ankle brace, you know, things like that. You know, we get lots of sprains, ankles, you know, the intramural sports and you know, good Thursday night activities. We have lots of patients come in on Fridays needing a little x-ray here and there.
Some cute shoes.
Oh, that's right. The wedges.
My roommate's cute shoes I borrowed.
Oh, the wedges hit them every time.
And a curb.
that fence. Those are like the most basic things that we see that I would encourage, especially and if parents are listening, I would encourage you to do, this is dropping back a little bit, but like she said at the beginning, go ahead and educate your student on what to expect when they go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. Perhaps before they even come to campus, make them go to the doctor by themselves when they need to get, you know, updated for something, but it'll pay off in the long run.
Yeah. Well, and so what are some just general health and hygiene practices that students can do just so that they can prevent the spread of disease, the flu, things like that?
Well, as you've all touched on in jokingly, but all in seriousness, it is washing your hands. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, when you're out on campus, you're not going to have a sink handy nearby all the time, so sanitizer goes a long way. And actually, some resources say that sanitizer, if your hands are not visibly dirty, that sanitizer is the preferred method of, you know, washing your hands. So, because you're supposed to wash your hands with soap and water for at least 15 seconds.
Singing happy birthday, right?
Or Old MacDonald, I think, was the last one. But in all
fight song.
How many people really take the time to stand there and wash their hands that long? Not many.
I see some people, they turn the water, like they literally just like stick their hands under.
I find great joy from washing my hands.
Yes,
like it feels like good. It's like I'm clean.
And even when they do wash their hands, they often forget their thumbs and their interwebs between their hands, too. So if you have sanitizer, you know, obviously I would get a little travel size from the dollar store and keep it in your bag at all times, in your car, wherever you're going to be. Because you have to remember, even if you're washing your hands, you're touching doorknobs, you're touching tables, chairs, all these common surfaces that people are not washing their hands and touching.
If you can do anything for yourself, be the responsible one and wash your hands because...
And don't drink after each other.
Yes.
Or vape after each other.
Well, and...
Don't vape, period.
Another thing is...
That's a whole other show.
It's a whole other show.
If you go to class and the person next to you obviously has got a cough and everything, don't just sit there and scowl at them. Just get up and move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get at least six to 10 feet.
You take care of you. You do
you. That's right. You know, and you know, and then hopefully you won't be the one that has to go to class coughing.
Right, and the common courtesy, right. Take tissues with you, cough right. into yeah. your sleeve or whatever.
Being courteous yeah. and respectful exactly. to other people, right. I think
and,
is...
And now if you do or are running a fever, don't go to class.
Exactly.
Don't go to work, don't go to class. Go to the health center.
And here's your tidbit. 100.4 degrees is the definition of fever. 100.4.
That's good to know. Okay.
Many
That's...
people don't know that.
No.
Cool. Yeah.
So even if, like... And I don't even care if we run out of time because this is so interesting to me. But even if, like, you run, like, a lower body temperature, and so still, like, 100.4 is, like, that's
the hardcore, hard line drawn there. Granted, there is some variability, of course, because, you know, but based on the statistics and, okay. you know, the bell curve,
yeah.
That's what the definition is.
We are learning so today. Much.
We, yeah. I think we got to take a quick break before we close it out.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Okay, so you guys, go wash your hands for the 30 seconds that we've been talking about.
I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah, I'm like, let's all go take a break. But actually, you know, I do want to give a plug for the services that the Student Health Center and Pharmacy offers. So if y'all are willing to stick with us in our 5-minute closing, we would love to have you. But okay, go wash your hands, you guys. You are listening to Fit to be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone on this lovely Sunday. We are closing out our show yes, with a bang.
Are. Yes, we are.
With lots of little tidbits and announcements and fun things, right?
We are, yes. And, you know, we talked about our Student Health Center and Pharmacy on campus, and I don't think we had a chance to talk about the hours that you guys see patients. And then aside from just walk-in medical care, I think some students may not be aware of some of our specialty services.
Yes.
So... I will hand the mic over to y'all, even though it's floating.
It literally is
yeah,
floating.
Yeah, tell us.
Well, to begin with, the Student Health Center, we are open 7 days a week in the fall and the spring semesters. We are closed on game day Saturday because, as y'all know, someone parks in these parking spots on campus besides us.
So really?
We can't be open on that. But we are open on the Sunday after the game. We are open Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Fridays 9 to 5, and weekends 1 to 4. We used to open in the mornings on the weekends, but nobody came. So we decided we'd just be open in the afternoon. We do have the most hours of any student health center in the SEC. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
We are open more than any other student health center, which I think is a kudo for us. Extra services, we do have...
We have a dietitian.
Gynecology, we have a dietitian.
Yeah.
We have gynecology. We do have a... psychiatry department, mm-hmm. full pharmacy on site. Mm-hmm. We also will, you know, I like to tell the students, we are your first stop for health care. You need an eye doctor, you need a dentist or something. We have numbers and names, and we will help you find someone that will take your insurance and we'll see you. I'll never forget walking back. I've been off, I think, at orientation or something. Friday afternoon, I come in, kids holding his jaw, he's got a bad tooth and everything. Here it is Friday afternoon, most dentists are closed.
Uh-huh.
And our receptionist is calling all over town, finding to get him in to see somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's, you know, so like I said, we're, you know, mm-hmm. I've even had kids that call and ask where to go get their pants hemmed. And I tell them where we go, you know.
We're just taking care like of proxy, all of them.
Yeah, we're like the proxy.
But one thing, and Dr. Christian had brought this up, is that we do want to emphasize how important it is if you're sick to get up and come on in. Most students walk in at 11 o'clock during the day. We open at 8. So, you know, come on in early.
Mm.
You'll get in and out a lot quicker, be back home and back in bed, getting well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in the evening, you know, try to get in, come in 30 minutes before we close.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait till 5 till 8 or 4 o'clock on a Saturday or Sunday, because we have lab and x-ray and pharmacy, and some of those auxiliary services, they close whether you're here or we're here.
Mm.
So, you know, you may get to see the doctor, but, you know, I mean, now certainly if it's a last-minute emergency, mm-hmm. you're at the rec center or down there at flag football or something at 7:30 at night and you twist your ankle, definitely come see us.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're sick, when you wake up in the morning, don't wait till closing time to come see us.
And we have plenty of web booking appointments that you can go on the website and make your an appointment, and then your wait time should even be less. So, you know, if you can wait till a little bit later in the day or whatever, you can at least make it when it's convenient for you and your schedule. And then you may have mentioned already, but psychiatric services we have, and we also have a dermatologist trained nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. So she is a great resource also because we have lots of skin complaints. Mm-hmm. And so you can get in with her. She's done some extra training this summer. So I wanted to throw that in there.
That's awesome. And I think when it comes to just being able to book things on the web, you know, we're just in that culture now. Mm-hmm. But students can do that through their MyBama in our patient portal. So that makes it super convenient. So if you know that you could only come by after you get out of class, go ahead and give yourself a slot for sure.
Now, the women's health, we do like you to call or come by our appointment desk because some of those appointments can last 15 minutes, some of them last 45 minutes, and so they really need to know why you're coming so you can get the right appointment for the right time frame for your problem, because there's nothing worse than to get there and the doc go, hey, I ain't got time for this because you made a 15 minute appointment and you need it, you know. So that's why we like our women's health to contact us.
Well, and you get more specialized care and, like you said, intensive care, whereas the walk-ins or even the web-based with the primary care, our slots are a lot less, sometimes less than half the time that you're going to get with the women's providers exclusively. So, yes, absolutely. Start trying to get in the habit of making those appointments through the appointment nurse.
Awesome. Well, y'all have provided just a wealth of knowledge. I'm going to go wash my hands like the rest of the afternoon. I'm going to tell my husband and my baby, but just thank you guys both for being with us.
Thank you all for having us.
Well, we are closing out another great show. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.